This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm so glad to be here with you today. I have a very special guest today, Pat Ellis. She's going to be talking about the importance of family and culture and of embracing one's roots. Pat has been writing since childhood. Her writing journey began with journaling, poetry, and short stories. Her first book, Plantains and the Seven Plagues, was a product of grief. She wrote her memoir several months after her mom passed away. She's currently republishing her second novel, Just Finn, which is a work of fiction. It's about a young man with Asperger's syndrome inspired by her brother who has Asperger's. Welcome to the show, Paz. You know, I'm hearing some buzzing in the background.
Thank you.
I think it stopped. Okay, I was hearing some serious buzzing in the back room. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how it was growing up. I know that you grew up with in a family of immigrants. I did as well. And how that came to play when you wrote your first book.
Well, my father was Cuban and my mother was Dominican. And they were hard-pressed to let go of their cultures. Of course, as being a Cuban, my father was grieving for his homeland because he wasn't able to ever go back. And my mother was a very strict Dominican mom, held on fast to her customs. So I grew up with kind of trying to honor their wishes of hanging on to my culture and embracing both sides of my culture, and at the same time being an American kid, since I was a first-generation American. So that was, you know, that was a challenge growing up, something that I now love and appreciate, but growing up it was a little different. It was difficult.
Yes, yes. I grew up, I'm Cuban myself. I came from Cuba at only a year old and was raised, of course, in the Cuban traditions. I can so relate to that, Bus, wanting to be American. I just wanted to be like all my friends, but my parents imposing different customs that, you know, like having a chaperone, right, that are not observed in America. And so I...
Exactly.
So...
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit more about your story and how it developed into you becoming a writer.
Well, I've always been a writer ever since I was young. I really started with this book. What happened was my mom, when she passed away, been 4 years now, I was angry. I wrote her a letter just because I wasn't dealing with my grief very well. So the next day after I had written her this letter, because I was so angry that she passed away and that she left us, I just started writing the memoir. And I started with the story of my parents, how they met, and you know, I just went through kind of chronologically. I jumped around a little bit with my life as a kid growing up, moving around, and just within the same town, different apartments until my parents bought a home. My things at school when I was little and I started school, there weren't very many Hispanic students at all in my school in that town. So, I mean, I dealt with some issues with teachers not particularly liking me, being that I was different. At least that's how I perceived it at the time. And I touch upon that in my book. It's really hard because when you're a little kid, you don't know why someone is looking down at you because of the color of your skin or because you have an accent or because your mother doesn't speak English or you know, because she's got dark skin or whatever. So that's how my story started once my mom passed away, and I was just inspired to tell my story and at the same time honor my parents. And it took off from there, and once I got that written, then I just started writing more and more, and I haven't been able to stop since then.
That's usually what tells you that you are definitely a writer, an author, when you can't stop anymore, right? You know, I love the title of your first book, Plantains and the Seven Plagues. Could you tell the listener a little bit about how that came about and why that title is so meaningful to you?
Well, You know what's funny is that most people, a lot of people, they write a book and then they spend time trying to figure out what their title is going to be. And when I started writing the book, one of the first things I did was write the title because I knew what it was going to be about. And plantains refers to the Dominican side of me. You know, we plantains, we boil them, we fry them, we bake them, we, you know, mash them and make mofongo, which is something
that you put
meat in.
Delicious.
Mofongo is really good. So, and then plantains is just that Dominican side of me. I know you get hungry. And then the second part, the seven plagues, is regarding my father. He, of course, hated Fidel Castro, what he did to his family, to friends, you know, the executions, the people that had to leave, those that had stuff behind. And my father was always trying to come up with these really creative yet sadistic ways of killing El Castro in his imagination. So that's where the seven plagues comes in, because he was always saying things like, ¿Por qué no le ataca la siete plaga? You know, why doesn't he get, you know, attacked by one of the seven plagues? And it was just a theme throughout my life, you know, let's see what dad's going to come up with this week. And so that is how I got the title of my book. And then, of course, my subtitle is Half Dominican, Half Cuban, in Full Life. Because although I have both halves, I had a good life. My parents were great people, and my sisters, and my brother, and extended family. And so I was half this, half that. Sometimes not quite sure what I was, but who I am today is because of these people. Because of my culture, the ones that are in Cuba and, you know, the ones that stayed behind and the ones that have left us, my parents. And my sisters and my brother, the people that have, that give me purpose every day to write, to live, to breathe, the people that I love.
Oh, that's really beautiful. You know, not only are you half Dominican and half Cuban, but you're full American as well. So you're balancing three cultures, me and all Cuban and all American. And I know that, I know what a balance that is and how much we want to preserve as we get older, like you said earlier, that we do have the desire to preserve our culture as much as we might have like fought against it when we were teenagers. It's really special to us. So tell us a little bit about, I know that you really, let's go right into that. Why are you so passionate about family and preserving culture?
Well, I have children. I have two boys and they're 18 and 9 and 20. And I want my children, I want my sons and hopefully one day my grandchildren to have this legacy to even if I never wrote another book again, for this book, this memoir, to be, it's a part of history because I wish I had a written history of what my mother and father actually went through, but I don't. I have bits and pieces, and those are the bits and pieces I wrote. And I want my children to have that. So having said that, the reason that it is so important to me, aside from that, well, my husband, he was born and raised in Oklahoma, so you would say he's Caucasian, you know, European descent. But he's very proud of his ancestry, and he's always encouraged me to embrace mine. And we tried. I tried to teach my children Spanish, and they just they'll understand it, but they won't speak it. You know, and I think it's because they were surrounded in, well, we lived in Oklahoma for so many years by everyone speaking English. But I wanted my children to know that we take nothing with us when we go. We leave behind our memories. We leave behind what we teach our children. And someone's scent, someone's hugs, someone's kind words, memories, photographs, those are the things we leave behind. And so I find it so important to be true to myself in keeping with those traditions and honoring my parents that way and acknowledging that love is really all there is, because at the end of the day, we all go to the same place. and we do not take anything with us, our wealth, our houses, our, you know, whatever it might be that we covet. We don't take those things with us. So
right.
That is why it was important to me to make a point of family and love. That's, to me, there is nothing more important than that. Not at all.
I love it. It's beautiful. And leaving that legacy for your children and then their children and people who will come generations later who never got to meet you, right? Or ever got to meet your parents at all. That's really beautiful, Bas. So
thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about what role authenticity has played in all of this for you.
Well, as you know, when you write a memoir, it's about as authentic as you can get. You're basically bearing everything. I talk about my past, my childhood, my idiosyncrasies, my silly teenage thoughts and, you know, things that most teenagers deal with, your angst, your rebellion. And showing all that, I feel that I try to live an authentic life. I try to be true to myself. I try to be honest. I try to be true to my children and to teach them, believe what you believe. Don't believe what you're told, or because you're told you should believe, you know, X, Y, Z. Be who you are always. And I think they've taken to that well. I feel that if I can't be myself, then I am nothing. And I have completely disappointed my parents, because one thing, my mother always said, oh, I don't care, we know what people think. And it's true. I mean, I don't care what people think. I want my readers to love my book and or my books and, you know, that way. But at the end of the day, what most matters is those boys that I've raised and my husband and my siblings, being authentic and true for them. Because there is nothing more important to me than family and love and being true to myself.
That's beautiful.
And that's about as authentic as I can get. Thank you.
I love it. I love your authenticity. That's one of the reasons I really wanted to have you on my show. And I connect, of course, so much with the Latin part of you, which is very similar to the Latin part of me, which is all of us at the same time as part of us. It's kind of a weird thing. So what do you believe is the first step for a person? No, you have to say something. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that even though I've only spoken to you a couple of times, it's almost, I feel like almost like you're a distant cousin, like a relative.
Yeah.
It's like we're all related in a way, especially with the Cuban, you know, with what our families and our, you know, relatives, friends have suffered. I feel a connection to you because of that. We share the similar history. So
I feel the same way. And when you were talking about your dad never returning to Cuba, my father never returned to Cuba either. He never got to go back. His mom came twice on visits, and I got to meet my grandmother. I didn't meet my grandmother till I was in my 20s, pregnant with my son.
Oh, wow.
And then I saw her once again a few years later. You know, they came for a month. She came for a month visit each time. And my father never saw his brothers, sisters, anyone. Only one sister came. The rest were all behind. So, yeah, I definitely connect with you. So, what
that
do you
is so
think?
Sad.
It is sad. It is sad, and I carried a lot of sadness with it, but I did discover a few months back, I think it was towards the fall of last year, that there's a time where we have to let that grief go, because it consumed me even as a child, you know, knowing that my cousins were back, because we were the only ones. My mother had one brother here. My father had one sister here. We had no grandparents. We grew up without grandparents, without aunts and uncles around. And it was not easy. But I found out by a very wise person that it was time to let go of that grief, because that's back then, that's the past, and we have our life now. And you have your children, I have my children, I have grandchildren. And so, you know, there's a time to let that go.
Right.
So,
no, absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call in and ask Bas a question, you can call at 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now and we'll be right back.
Are you frustrated losing the same 10 pounds over and over again? Then ditch the diet. Wouldn't it be great if you could lose weight simply by making small changes to your daily eating habits? Presenting Create Your Thinner Self, the weight loss program that has helped people just like you finally attain their ideal weight. Imagine having more energy, feeling better, and looking better. Start your transformation today. Go to createyourthinnerself.com. That's createyourthinnerself.com.
Have you been searching for that one self-help book that can help you address any problem that comes up in your life, gives you the exact steps to make that happen, and can always be there as a reference book when you need additional help? That book is the Fix Yourself Handbook. I'm Foster Ruggiero, the author of the Fix Yourself Handbook. Find your copy on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or at any local retailer. Or go to www.fosterruggiero.com.
Are you a working mom feeling anxious and worried all the time? I am Dr. Ivy G, the author of The Art of Good Enough, the working mom's guilt-free guide to thriving while being perfectly imperfect. The book shows you how I transform my life as a working mom. Get a free digital copy of my life transformation journal at ivg.com. That's ivyge.com. And start changing your life today.
We're back on Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Maureen Mitchell, with special guest, Boss Ellis. She's been talking about the importance of family and culture and embracing one's roots. So what do you believe, Boss, is the main message that you want to bring to the public?
The main message is that you, first of all, you need to be true to yourself. You need to embrace who you are. In my experience, and in my case, it's being Dominican, being Cuban, being an American, being very proud of my country. My parents were very proud when they became citizens. And just love is just. I love my parents, and my mom passed away a few years ago, my dad 18 years ago, and I can tell you it feels like it was yesterday. And I grieved my mother poorly, but writing my memoir really helped put things into perspective, because I looked at it and I said, this is a picture, this is what my mom and my dad did for us, left us. I have amazing relationship with my siblings. My older sister is actually from my father's first marriage, and we're so close, and we're even close to her mother. My mother and her mother became the best of friends because they wanted us to be united. And when her mother remarried and had a son, which is my brother that I refer to, he's really not my a blood relation, but we grew up thinking we were siblings, just like I was with my sister and my younger sister from both my parents. It just, those relationships are so rich, and my siblings are a gift. My parents gave us, her mother, Nilda, my mom, my dad, Rolando and Francia, they were really onto something when they just pulled together to give us each other forever. There was no, oh, she's just your half-sister, oh, he's not really your brother. It was like, no, that's your sister, that's your brother, period. Love was the most important thing. And watching my father all those years, writing letters back and forth to Cuba, talking about his family, all of that showed me growing up. My father adored his family. And he did get to see them finally. When he was sick, my mom took him to Cuba. Not long before he passed away. So he did get to go back and see his siblings, his brothers that he had not seen since 56, I believe it was. His parents did come to visit back in, I think it was in 80. And that's the first and only time I ever met my grandparents. But I tell you what, I adored them. And it's just amazing to love people that you've never seen, but you love them so much because your father or your mother loved them so much, and you know these stories, and you have letters you write to your cousins, they write back to you.
Right.
So that is essentially what, you know, what was so important to me and why it meant so much to me to kind of honor them in that way.
Yeah. I just love everything you're saying so much. The part about loving people you've never met. One of my uncles, my father's younger brother, who looked exactly like my dad, and my dad had already passed away. So the first time I saw him, I thought it was my dad. It just startled me. He came to visit in the early 2000s. And I could see how much he loved me in his eyes. I'll never forget that. And I thought, you only saw me as a baby, you know, like, because I came when I was a year old, so he only knew me as an infant.
Right.
And I'm thinking, how could you love me so much? But I could feel it. I could see his eyes, so I know what you're talking about, Buzz. It's just a beautiful thing to have this love. And another thing that struck me, and I want to talk about, because I think it's important in these times, your parents were so proud to be Americans. My father was the same way. He was so proud to be an American. He would put the flag up Memorial Day, Veterans Day, 4th of July, and he always gave thanks to this country. He says, this country gave me a life I never would have had. And people don't think of immigrants as being that way. They think, oh, they, you know, they don't love America. That's not true. America gives them a chance to do something for their children they couldn't have done before. And I love that you brought that point out. So let's talk about your other book, Just Finn, if you'd like, for a little bit.
Sure. Well, Just Finn is a book of fiction. It's about a young man. He's 18 years old when the book opens up, and he leaves his home where his biological parents are. He has Asperger's syndrome, but they never really diagnosed him. They just kind of treated him like he was a mistake, and he was a freak. And he was quite the opposite. He was brilliant and had a good heart. But he, as soon as he knows, oh, I'm 18 and I can go, he left.
Mm.
And the book is really, truly, it was inspired by my brother, because in his 40s is when he found out that he had Asperger's syndrome. We always knew there was something a little bit, you know, something going on, but he knows. And when he found out, he called me and he's like, oh my God, I'm so happy. Do you know that I have Asperger's syndrome? And he says, that explains why I'm so weird. And he was so happy to know.
Aww.
He was so happy to know. So I started thinking about him as a young man, and I started thinking, you know, I think I have an idea. So I just started writing it, and now I'm writing the second part. It's a two books in this series, and I'm writing the second part of Finn. It should be out in the fall. I had Finn published originally, but I pulled it off out of publishing because I wanted to get a better editor. And so it's with the editor right now, and it'll be coming out probably, I would say, July or August. And then the second book will be in the fall. And then following that, I'll probably have a little surprise for my Plantains and the Seven Pledges fans.
Ooh,
well,
wonderful.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so you're going to keep us in the dark on that. We'll have to check
progress.
Your website. Awesome. So while we're talking about that, let's talk about how to get a hold of you and how to get a hold of your books, Buzz.
Sure. Well, my website is www.pazellis.com. I am on Goodreads. I am on Amazon, which is where you can find my book on Amazon.com. You can find it on Barnes & Noble, on Kobo, on the Apple bookstore, Google store. It's pretty much everywhere. I don't know that you can walk into a physical bookstore right now and pick it up because, well, with COVID, everything's changed. So that's a lot of that's not going on. And I can't do book signings. I haven't been able to go to bookstores. But
right.
You can pick it up. Kindle is $2.99, and the paperback copy is $9.99. And you could sign up on my website for my newsletter, which I only send out once a month. I don't share email addresses. I simply email a newsletter with what's going on, what's coming up next. Unless I have like a giveaway or something, I might, you know, send an extra newsletter or like a little email letting you know that I have a giveaway going on. And actually, I just gave away 10 books yesterday on librarything.com. So if the show had been before, I would have been able to, your listeners could have gone in and try to get a free book. But I'll be doing one again here shortly.
Very good. So you can also find Baz on – go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and I'm forgetting something, I'm sure. But I pretty much have all of the social media covered.
Okay, good. And you can
but
also find –
my website, all that information.
Right. It's Paz Ellis, PazEllis.com. And you can find Paz on my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. Click on the radio show page, and she's already there with her picture, a link to her website and her books, and a link to this interview, which I hope you'll pass along because she has shared so many beautiful things, especially about love and family, which I think we really have to focus in on these days. So, Baz, is there one last thing that you'd like to say to a listener, something that's on your heart right now?
Well, first I'd like to say thank you for listening in. And second, I would like to say look around you, and if there's someone, if it's your mom, if it's your dad, your grandmother, give them a hug. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. You don't know what the last day you will see will be when you will see them again. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Just love the people that matter most to you, and don't waste time. Make sure that you make the best out of what you have when you have it, and always be true to yourself. Be as authentic as you can be. Life is short. There's no time for BSing.
So true. Very nice. I just love how you exude love and love of family, and that's really beautiful. I can feel it from here. It's so strong. And
thank you.
And it's you know, like I said, it's a difficult balance when you have different cultures, yet you want to be so American, and it's a hard road to finding your authentic self until you realize that all of that is your authentic self, right? And that's what you've done so beautifully. So thank you so much for being
thank
on the
you.
Show. It has been such a pleasure having you, Paz. And thank you for listening in. Like I said, the replay of this will be on the same link. So just pass it on. Is there one last thing you'd like to say, Paz, before we close?
Just thank you very much. And to your readers, Plantains and the Seven Plagues, check it out and see what you think. If you read it and you like it, leave a review. Reviews are really important to authors because they give us validity, and they help us write more books, and we get to know what you want, and we get to know what you want to hear about. So anyway, thank you so much, Mari. I had a wonderful time.
I had a great time, Paz. Have a great rest of your day. And thank you all for listening in. And catch us on our next episode of Dare to Be Authentic Radio.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell. Broadcasting live from Southern California.